I'm Nick, and you're listening to the Discipleship for Busy Blokes podcast. We're in conversation with ordinary blokes from all walks of life, working out what it means to follow Jesus. This podcast is a part of Empower, which is a ministry of the Elim Pentecostal movement, reaching and serving men all around the world. Our vision is that all men have the potential to join a great band of brothers in Christ. The easiest way for you to connect with Empower is via our business WhatsApp. Click the link in the message notes that come with this podcast and send us a message. You can join loads of other blokes already receiving our encouraging and helpful resource broadcasts every single week. We are online at empower.zone, and we're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search Elim Empower. Join in the conversation and get yourselves connected. It's my great pleasure to welcome James Aladaran to Discipleship for Busy Blokes podcast. James, welcome along.
Thank you for having me, Nick. It's such an honor, such a privilege to be able to just be with you today and have all the guys listening in. Wherever you're listening from, welcome, and it's great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you, James. Just to explain to the guys listening, our history goes back to a time when James came to a conference for the Elim churches in the UK. And he preached an absolutely blinding message that personally knocked me out. And I went back to my hotel room and prayed for an hour. That's the kind of message that every preacher wants to hear feedback about, isn't it, really? But it really did. It really made a massive difference to me and to my prayer life. And I think there are a couple of things in that message that really sank home about prayer. So we're going to talk a little bit about prayer today. But first of all, before we get into all of that, just tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, James. Is that all right?
Yeah, absolutely fine. So I've been married for 8 years now. I can't believe how much time has gone. So I've got a 7-year-old. His name is Justice. I've also got a 1-year-old, Evie. And my wife and I have been involved in prayer with Prayer Storm, which is the ministry and the charity we lead here in the UK for quite a while now, since 2009. And so my parents are missionaries. I came to the UK in 2001. When I was 17. So my dad is from Nigeria. I grew up mostly in Nigeria. However, I was born in Liberia and my mom is from Ghana. And now obviously I live in Manchester. My wife is from Stockport. So there you go. That's just a brief overview. And so God's given us a real heart for the UK, and just believing him, believing the Lord for a real move of his spirit here has never been seen before. We know he's not finished with the United Kingdom.
Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your information on you know, how you come to be here. And yeah. It's just an absolute pleasure to have you ministering here in the UK. I remember a while ago you said something in one of your messages about, hey, you never really wanted to be a speaker. Just tell us about that, because that was kind
You see, I still find it kind of intriguing, actually, that I do a lot of speaking these days, because I've never really thought of myself as a speaker. In fact, I never really even had anyone tell me I was good at speaking. Not that I needed that, but it wasn't just an ambition of mine or desire I had in my heart. Plus, I hated public speaking. In fact, I remember back when I was in Nigeria, before I came to the UK, I did some like holiday clubs, and we had to do some sort of public speaking every now and then. And it was so bad. I was terrible. The best way to explain how bad it was is, you know, when you watch kind of like X Factor or one of these kind of talent shows, and someone comes up to sing that thinks they can sing but can't actually sing, and they're so bad, you almost cringe and like feel embarrassed for them. Well, that was like me maybe times 10, except I knew that I couldn't speak and I didn't want to do any public speaking. It's just, I was just terrible. So my experiences of public speaking were just all not good. And so it wasn't something that I wanted to do. Maybe you're listening and you can relate to that. Well, I can definitely identify how you're feeling. So I was like that. And so just to give you an idea that it was not on my radar at all. I remember a guy giving me a prophetic word once about, you know, God calling me to speak and preach and do these things. And I was so disappointed in my heart. I was like, God, why would you do this to me? And so, you know, fast forward now to obviously 2021. I've been doing this for a few years now, but I'd say one of the turning points was an encounter I had with God. This was, I guess, 2000 or 2001, just before I came to the UK. I was at this meeting and it was like Holy Spirit was moving in such a powerful way. And I just said, Lord, I don't want to leave this place the same way I came. And the Holy Spirit came on me in an unusual way. And I basically just jumped out of my chair and started dancing around. And I was thinking in my head, Lord, you're embarrassing me. Lord, why are you doing this to me? But it was like, it was such an overwhelming presence that it was like, I couldn't stop. And so, but the crazy thing was, as I was dancing around and just literally just jumping around like a headless chicken, it was like I was being delivered at the same time. And it was like, God just put a fire in me at that time. And I knew that whatever God wanted to do in my life, it was like I could stand in front of a million people and speak out the word of God with boldness without fear. And it was like I had a personality transplant is the best way to describe it. In one moment, I couldn't do public speaking. I didn't ever want to do it. The next moment, I was like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I'm ready. And it was like just a real shift and a real fire and boldness the Lord put in me. So over time, obviously, things changed, and the Lord started to make it clear to me what's calling me to do what I'm doing right now. And here we are.
Absolutely great story. Thank you so much for sharing that. And you said at the beginning of the podcast about your family that you've become a dad. Just tell us a little bit about, what's it like being a dad? How has that changed your faith or your understanding of God as Father? Just talk into that a bit.
Okay, so I don't know, maybe this might be very simple and practical for some people, but marriage, let's start with marriage. Marriage is like a crucible. It reveals everything in you that you didn't even know was there before. In fact, I think marriage is like a great amplifier. Some people think they get married and things get sorted out. Well, whatever you didn't have sorted out before you got married, when you get married, I don't know if Pastor Nate, you can agree with this, it amplifies every insecurity, every area of your life. And so I see that God uses marriage to shape us, to mold us, to reveal to us areas of our hearts, our lives that need changing. Well, having kids is the next level up.
yeah, it is.
it's revealed every. See, before I got married, I thought I was patient. Before I got married, I thought I was doing very good. And then after I got married, I realized how horrible I was. And then, and after I had kids, I realized, oh my goodness, I need to get saved again. Oh God, help me, because I'm just realizing impatience and realizing all these issues. And so the Lord is just dealing with me, and I'm constantly just repenting before the Lord, because honestly, I'm like, God, help me. I don't feel like I'm doing a good job with parenting. I just need your grace and help. And so having a boy that's very active and very energetic and just very strong-willed has been a part of that process. Now, having a girl that's also energetic, it has been a completely different feeling, or I don't know how to word it. It's been a different experience having a boy and having a girl, really, for me. I think having the boy, we got married and we literally got pregnant, like, I don't know, for 2 or 3 months afterwards. And so our whole married life, mostly, we've had a baby. And so I've been used to having a boy, and I don't feel like I was as mature to handle him when he arrived as I am right now when we've had the girl. And so it's slightly different. I feel more of, I'm enjoying the process more with the girl than I did with the boy, because I guess I wasn't mature at that point. And I'm still maturing right now. I'm not trying to say I've arrived, by the way. So it has been an incredible journey. It's helped me to understand God better. But more than that, which I even want to understand more than that, he's helped me to realize areas of my life that God is actually wanting me to conform to his image even more. And so I am just wanting my kids to be brought up in an environment where they see a role model of what it is to be a guy who is not perfect, but is really running after God, and that they end up living this out in their life. Because that's what I saw my parents model at home as well.
That's a great answer. And certainly some of the things you say mirror some of my own experience. You know, certainly when I got married, I felt like the mirror was shown to my character, and then another level with kids. And as a pastor, it's another level as well. You get these mirrors shown back to you by people in ways you never asked for, you know, God's working on you. So that's great. I appreciate you speaking into that. Just tell me a little bit about what do you think the issues are that blokes are facing in 2021? I know we've got a pandemic that's hopefully coming to an end this year and things are lifting. But wider than that, what do you think guys are facing at the moment?
That's a big question.
It's a big question, yeah, sure.
I think it's difficult to say, and it would be difficult to just release one answer, because it's not one size fits all. There is a great, I don't want to overly generalize, but I can talk from some of my experiences of some of the guys I've been around. I would say one of the major issues facing us guys is purity in our hearts. That's a major one. Identity is another one. Our security and our spirituality is another one. However, the one that really catches my heart at this point in time is purity in heart, especially sexual purity. With the amount of perversion that's around, with the amount of pornography that's easily accessible, with the amount of distractions around us, with the amount of just all the movies and billboards, everything is just charged. It's easier to fall into sexual sin. And it might not even be necessarily looking at pornography or masturbation or immorality, sleeping around. It could be just entertaining thoughts in certain areas that we shouldn't. And so there is such a pressure in that. And I feel that that's going on in a massive way in the body of Christ, in a way where there needs to be the openness to talk about these things, and there needs to be the willingness to address them and not try to sweep things under the carpet, or even try to shame people into repentance, because that could also be another pitfall. Because I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the hospital having the reputation for being a place where sick people don't want to go because they feel like they're being made to feel horrible for being sick. Now, obviously, sickness is not a good thing, and sin is not a good thing either. However, I think the church should be the place where people can come and be actually honest and open and say, hey, I am struggling, having a hard time, and I believe God has designed the church to be the place where we can walk in freedom from all kinds of perversion. So one of the things I see guys are facing more and more is just the increase of the perversion. And I believe, I don't know if this is accurate, but I believe I heard a friend say to me that they'd seen that statistic showing that there'd been an increase in just the consumption of pornography and all kinds of stuff online, especially during this pandemic, that it's just skyrocketed. Now, I don't know if that's confirmed, but that's what I heard. But okay. It's one of the issues I believe guys are facing this time.
I don't think you're wrong at all. I think you're right on the money. And I think, you know, that's something that all of us as guys are, you know, have got a responsibility to manage our mindsets. Mm-hmm. In fact, interesting you should say that. Just a couple of weeks ago, I write a weekly thing for our Empower Men in the Elam movement, and felt led to share something called the Wrecking Ball, which was all about, hey, take a wrecking ball to the stronghold of sexual impurity, you know. And I wrote out some freedom statements for that, and that's been accessed a lot of times by guys. Wow. So I think, yeah, no, you're absolutely on it there. I think that's very true. Just switching tack a little bit, if I may, what's your favorite Bible passage or character? If you can, again, it's a big question, but is there one that particularly resonates with you, or perhaps one that resonates with you right now? Just talking to that.
Yeah. I go through different phases and seasons depending on what the Lord is really doing in me. But there's some incredible Bible characters that just blow my mind, and I just consider how they walked with God and what they had available to them in the time they were in. And at the moment, I would say maybe I know you said one, but two people that I always get stirred by: Moses and Elijah. I am just stirred by their walk with God. Moses in particular at the moment, because of how he was able to just, you know, talk to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And I'm jealous of that. I'm saying, God, I want to walk in that reality on earth. I want that not just to be an idea or theology. I'm like, yeah, that's good, and I intellectually kind of agree with it. I actually want it to be a reality I live in. So I'm challenged by Moses's heart for God, but his heart for people as well. How he interceded for those people when God said to him, I could just make of you a nation right now and forget about all these guys who have rebelled against me. And you know, Moses cried out to God that God would not destroy them, even though, you know, he was not that happy with them either. So again, imagine if that were said to some preachers today or some men today with unresolved issues of identity. They'll be like, oh yeah, God, get rid of them. Yes, I'm here. Just use me and build a new nation. I mean, he was a humble guy who was like just all out for God's purpose. He just wanted to please God's heart. And so I love that about Moses. In terms of Bible passage, right now, there's several again. One comes to mind is the prophecy that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. That has always been stirring my heart, because I believe God is going to do that in a great measure, even though I know it was quoted by Peter in the And the book of Acts, I believe it was the beginning of it, and we yet to see the fullness of it. And so it's in the book of Acts, but Joel 2.28 is Joel, the one that stands out to me. Joel 2.28. Pour out my spirit on all flesh in the last days, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And so I am holding on to that promise, and that always stirs my heart.
I love hearing when someone, you know, like yourself can get in and share, you know, a favorite Bible passage or particular characters. And it stirs my faith and builds my faith. And actually, something I want to let you know about is, I don't know if you may not remember this, but my wife has suffered a spinal injury back in 2014. And I think at one of the conferences, the Elam conferences, you were very kind enough to pray for her. And now she is not completely healed, but she has made great progress in that.
Oh, wow.
And, I think at the time when you prayed for her, there was no way she could jump, for instance. Whereas now she is able to jump off the ground, really stunning. It's a slow, progressive thing, but she's making progress on that. And yes, a lot of people have prayed, and but you've prayed for her as well. And I just wanted to sort of raise that with you and say, hey, you know, sometimes when we pray into things, we don't see the immediate answers, but it's a progressive thing and you have to keep praying. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lots of Christians get hung up on unanswered prayers. And I understand that there can be complications around things. You prayed for someone and they died. You prayed for this and it didn't happen. But I think I've learned to live with mystery. Now, what I'm trying to say is I don't accept things that I know are of the enemy and just kind of say, oh, well, you know what? I guess it's just meant to be. Because think about Elijah again. He was praying for the rain to come. Now, when he was praying for the rain to come, he didn't just pray once and then the rain came. Now, remember, God said to Elijah, I am going to send the rain. God said it. Elijah prayed the first time, nothing happened. Second time, nothing happened. Third time, nothing happened. But God said it. So by the sixth time, most Christians are like, well, I guess God said it and it's not happening. Maybe he doesn't want to do it. Well, that wasn't Elijah's mindset. So there are times where God says he wants to do something. I want to heal. I'm the Lord that heals, you know, all your diseases and forgives all your sins. And there are these promises, these words we have. And so sometimes we pray the first time you don't see the breakthrough. The second time you don't see the breakthrough. But it doesn't mean God doesn't want to do it. And I love Elijah's persistence. He would have carried on for 50 times if that's how long it took, because he knew God said it. And so the key thing is standing on what God has said and what God is saying. And so in addition to that, living in that place of being able to embrace mystery. See, it's not wrong to have questions and say, God, why did this happen? The bigger issue is, where is the question coming from? See, if the question is coming from offense, then you're going to end up in more unbelief. But if the question is coming from a place of trust, then you're being positioned for greater revelation. And so the question is not wrong to have the question. It's just, where are you positioned when you're asking that question? Are you already in a place of, you're offended at God, you're mad at God, this happened? Or are you in a place where you trust God regardless, and you're living in that place of being able to embrace the unknown, the mystery, but you know the nature of God, that he's a good father? And asking from that place, I believe, often positions us for greater revelation and even going deeper in our walk with God in the midst of what seems like unanswered prayers.
That's a really helpful answer. You know, just so interesting to hear your perspective on that. I had a bit of a battle in prayer myself after Chloe first had her spinal injury. To be really honest, I felt myself hamstrung in my prayer for about 6 months, I think. I found it really difficult to pray because I kind of thought, well, hold on, God, your heart is to heal. This doesn't feel like it's your will that she's been set back in this way. You're not answering straight away, and yet I know you're good. How do we deal with that? You know, and it is a mystery. I remember having a particular time one day where I was kind of saying to God, you know, you've kind of stuck me in a theological cul-de-sac here. This doesn't go anywhere. and it was funny though, because I felt God say, yeah, there's a whole load of people stuck in that theological cul-de-sac. So get over yourself, you know. And I was like, okay, yeah. And then I felt him say, actually, I've sent Jesus to rescue a whole load of people from the theological cul-de-sac. So, you know, just get off your high and mighty horse and just wait and be patient and be persistent. So, yeah,
absolutely.
There's loads in there. And I know the unanswered prayer question is ever so hard, but, I'm inclined to believe that Part of it is the father, isn't it? The father heart of, do you really want this? You know, when your kids come and ask you and they ask you just once, you're like, do you really want it? You know, and then they keep asking, then you know they really want it. So
yeah. And it's good to have that heart of humility in trusting God in these times, because, you know, I lead a ministry. I've been leading this prayer storm started in 2009. And right now I am more on fire in my heart pursuing God than ever. There's just a hunger. But that's not to say I don't have areas of mystery in my life right now where I haven't seen breakthrough. So it's not like because I'm leading a prayer ministry, all my prayers are answered and I'm seeing because of it. There are areas of my life where, honestly, I don't know what's going on there. And I do bring that before the Lord, but that has not become the definition of my prayer life. And this is where sometimes we can miss it, where your need and whatever you're asking God for breakthrough in, that can become an idol, and that can become the definition of your prayer life, where, you know, either God does that or he's on trial, and, you know, if he doesn't do that, then that's the end. You see, my prayer life is more than that. My prayer life is about my connection with God himself. And so I can relate to God and have a interaction, communion with God, irregardless of the season of life I'm in. And that's the way I've developed myself in prayer. And that's the way I want to keep going. So whether the need is met or not, I am still going to pursue. In fact, as of yesterday, I remember having a conversation with my wife about this. And we say, you know what? If God decides never to answer that prayer request, if God decides never to answer us and give us what we're desiring here, we are sold out to him regardless, and we're not going to even turn in any way. That's not even ever an option. And so that's always been settled on my heart, that if God were not supposed to, if God were not going to answer my prayer request ever again from this moment onwards for the rest of my life, he's already done enough for me, and I'm still going to serve and give him everything as though he's answered every single prayer I've ever prayed.
I would be with you on that. And I think what that reminds me of is this concept that, you know, for God, it must be frustrating at times when people do hang everything about their relationship with him on the answered prayer or the unanswered, you know, or the prayer that hasn't been answered, and then decide, well, that's it. Because then it becomes, it's not really a relationship then, is it? Yeah, it's about what, you know, God must be so tired of people being in it simply for what he can do for them versus simply strolling with him and having his company. And I think that's the key difference, isn't it? It's it's being willing to spend time in God's company, irrespective of what he does for you.
Absolutely.
So yeah, great thing to hear you say that. And I feel, you know, very, I really identify with that. Mm-hmm. That said, you must be somebody who's seen some fantastic answers to prayer. Is there anything that you can share with us that's perhaps happened over the last year or so where you've seen a bit of a breakthrough in prayer, or anything that springs to mind?
It's a matter of which one.
Go for it.
And some of them I can't say, or I can't go into all the details because of, you know, the people it affects and all that kind of stuff. But God has just been incredible. In fact, my wife and I again yesterday just saying, wow, God has been so good in how he's answered prayer. In fact, my wife was reminding me, this didn't happen to me personally, but my wife was reminding me of, you know, someone, this, and this didn't happen last year though, but this is one that comes to mind. Someone was, I think someone had a cartilage missing in their knee. And so she was in the room and she just said, well, I'm just going to sing. And so she just had a song, I Believe You're a Healer, kind of like an old song, you know, I Believe You're My Healer or something. Well, as she sang, the cartilage kind of was formed and recreated in the person's knee in that moment. And the reason why my wife was sharing that with me is because our neighbor, you know, just said to us yesterday, you know, she's not safe. She said to us that, you know, she might end up in a wheelchair. So we said, oh, we're going to pray. So my wife just reminded me of that testimony. Oh, my goodness, that's an incredible testimony. Well, we believe for God to heal my neighbor. And aside from healings, you know, lots of testimonies we've been receiving from our live streams that we've been doing online. We've been hosting like online midnight prayers and online worship times. We've had people come to faith from that. We've had people experience healing from suicide. Some people, in fact, I think a leader emailed us once about just contemplating suicide, a church leader. And that stream at that moment was for them. In addition to that, some of the ones that actually are more personal to me in this last year are more financial. I don't know, maybe this will relate with some people listening, where it's like God has just blown my mind by his goodness in provision. And you know, there's a verse in Matthew that says, you know, look at the birds of the air. You know, they need to kind of sow. This is crazy. They neither sow nor reap, yet the Heavenly Father provides for them, right? And now in the charismatic Pentecostal setting, we often talk about give. Now, obviously, giving is what we do. We tithe and we give. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you give. And so I'm not against giving in that sense or sowing, you know, into the kingdom. However, the Father says, even the birds don't sow or reap. And God still takes. And, you know, yeah. I've seen the goodness of God that I can look back and go, well, that had nothing to do with, oh, yeah, I sowed this and this came in. But I've just seen that as I've been obedient to God, he has blown my mind where there has been a pandemic going on. But, you know, I've seen the opposite of God's goodness in my life, in our ministry. I've seen the opposite of how God has just been so good in moments of critical need. He's just come through, you know, over and over and over and over again. And again, I don't want to go into all the details because I don't want to, you know, tell every single thing. And you might understand what I'm trying to say here. But sure. God has been amazing. And maybe you're listening to this and you're needing healing in your body. Just as we said, don't let go. Don't give up believing for that healing. Keep praying and contending for what you know God has said he's going to do. Maybe you're listening, believing God for financial breakthrough. Over and over again, there are times my wife and I have said to each other, oh God, we need a financial breakthrough. Literally, a few moments later, text comes through from someone. It's just, oh, I just feel led to give this amount. And sometimes it's been the exact amount that we've been needing. Over and over again, I can't just explain to you how amazing God has been. And so I'm just so thankful to the Lord for answers to prayers in many, many areas of our lives and ministry this last year, actually.
Something I think that's particularly encouraging, well, two things. One is when you look back on the track record of all the answered prayers, that itself is encouraging. And then the other thing that you were saying reminded me of is how sometimes God fits his answer so specifically to the need that you go, well, there's no other explanation for that other than the fact that he's wanted to do that. And I think when that happens, it's just is so, so encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, really absolutely.
We have a little bit of a tradition on this podcast, James, where we play a little bit of a game. I hope this is okay to hit you with this.
I tend to be rubbish at games, so I hope
I'm sure you'll be okay. We play this game, and let me just turn this on. And what it does is we spin the wheel, and it comes up with a category or two. And I'll just ask you a question about that. It's just designed to kind of get the guys knowing a little bit more about you personally, if that's okay. So we'll spin the wheel and we'll see if this works. Here we go. Okay, and it's come up with car.
What?
A car. It's come up with a car. So tell us about a car you drive. Or that you'd like to have, or that was a memorable thing for you with your family or something like that.
So is that the question? A car, what car would I want to have?
Yeah, maybe your car that you'd have, you know, if God could give you a car, and you know, what would it be? Or has there been a particularly good car that you've liked as a man or as a family man?
I'm just thinking because I'm not that much of a car person, but as I'm driving, I see some cars and I'm like, oh, that's a nice car. And they're often like Jaguars and but then I feel like I might get all materialistic right now. I don't know.
Okay. No problem. Well, should we move on from that? So if we could get you a Jag. There we go.
I do like nice cars. I do like nice cars. I'm not as into them as some people are, where they know exactly the model. Oh, yeah, sure. That particular one. But I do see certain brands, especially Jaguars and other makes similar. Yeah. I'm like, ooh, that's a very, very nice car. And so there you go.
Oh, no problem. Well, let's play it one more time, see what it comes up with for you. Let's have a go. Ah, okay. We got journey this time. So with the journey one, it's tell us about a memorable journey that you've had. And that could be literal or spiritual, or perhaps a journey into an understanding. I mean, you can take it a number of different ways.
Okay.
Talk to us about a journey.
I tell you what, the first thing that came to mind is a holiday. Because I mean, we haven't been on holiday in a long, long, long time. But my wife and I went to somewhere in Spain, I forgot the name of the place. You remember? But it was a lovely. It was probably the best holiday we've had in a long. I mean, ever. Because they had like an infinity pool, and it was like compartment, and it was in the hills. So we had to drive up these mountains, get to this place, and it's just like, you know, this lovely apartment, but then it's like this massive pool. And when you're in the pool, I don't know if you know what an infinity pool is. All you can see is just, it feels like it's a drop from the pool, like down, but it's not actually. And it was just one of the most relaxing times that every now and again I just think about.
Nice. I think you've struck a chord there. I think there's a ton of blokes listening to this who are going, yes, send me on holiday. I need a holiday. So that's great. James, you've been an absolutely fantastic guest. So, so delighted to chat to you. And I wondered if you could close us off just by praying for the blokes listening. Would that be all right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, Father, I thank you for everyone listening to this podcast right now. I thank you that, Lord, even through this discussion, you've been able to stir hearts, perhaps even awaken people to things they've forgotten. And Lord, I want to pray that anyone listening to this that's struggled in any area, whether it's with offense, unanswered prayers, feeling discouraged, or even struggling with any kind of addiction, with any perversion, Father, I pray that they will know your deliverance even now, that the hold of darkness will be broken off, the hold of discouragement will be broken off them, and that right now they will begin to experience your peace, they'll begin to experience your joy, your fire, your presence, that will begin to cause them to be lifted out of the mountain. Clay, and that you set them upon a rock. Father, I pray for spiritual stamina and strength to be released into the lives of every single person listening to this right now, and that they will be able to live a life that's honoring to you, that you'll be able to advance your kingdom through them, Father. Have your way in us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.